B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
For when Embiid's hurt, yes, but this is a guy, it's not his fault, but because Ben won't take a shot, he really can't play under the, he can't be in the game with Embiid and him, because there's six guys under the basket then.
Warren, I think, I stand by the Sixers getting Al Horford. What I don't stand by is how Brett Brown's using him in this offense. Because he's never been used like this before. Elton Brand and Brett Brown need to get back on the same page like they supposedly were at the start of the season. And they had these guys playing, supposedly they were going to play bully ball. And we have seen that sparingly so far this year, even though they're far more equipped for that than they are 46 threes in a game.
I've said this to you all year, and Bobby, last year, he doesn't know the team he's got. They can talk bully ball, but when you talk bully ball, that means you limit possessions. You don't take a three with 20 seconds left on the clock. I know it's a weapon for today's game, but these guys do not listen. I'm tired of hearing that Brett Brown wants Ben Simmons to take a three. I'm tired of hearing that he wants Embiid in the block. If he can't get them to do it, and I'm not telling you this year, because last time we had an argument, you said, aren't they better than they played? No, it's halfway into the season. You are what you are. And Al Horford, it sounds funny, but the money they gave him is not like crazy money compared to standards. He can't be in a starter. You got enough big men on the court. It just gets too many away. If B comes out in the first quarter, Horford goes in. Ben Simmons comes out, he goes in. They don't use these guys regularly, and I don't care who's hurt. You cannot have that squad that they had, whether it's Neto, Ennis, Mike Scott. You guys even said it. You can't, for 1 minute of an NBA game, put a field of five guys like that.
No. Yeah. No. Absolutely. Warren, thanks for the call, man. Great stuff as always. 610-632-0975. The 8 o'clock hour brought to you by none other than Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. On the line with us right now from NBC Sports Philadelphia, former Sixer, Temple Owl, Mr. Mark Jackson joins us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right today, despite a disappointing loss to the Raptors again last night. Now, Mark, I'm trying to be level-headed about this, because if you tell me going into the game that you're not going to have Joel Embiid, Josh Richardson's only going to be able to play 4 minutes because of a hamstring strain, and you're going to be in Toronto, and then you tell me 5 minutes left in the game, you're down 3 points, I'm feeling pretty good about it. But this game was very winnable down the stretch. Ben Simmons, 2 points in the fourth quarter, one rebound, 8 turnovers in the game overall. I'm almost pleasantly surprised by how close this game was down the stretch, but they let it slip away, it felt like.
Yeah, they did. They did. I just think, you know, this team came in here, you know, on a roll. They were playing very good basketball despite Joel Embiid being out. They're starting to find a chemistry, and then boom, first 4 minutes, a major starting contributor, Josh Richardson, goes down with another hamstring injury. And you kind of like, well, geez, do we get any positive news this season? I mean, it's just bad luck. But going down the stretch, you know, I got the vibe that, yes, we were playing well, but were we going to be able to keep going blow for blow for them when Toronto is so deep? And I think in that fourth quarter, I think we just wore down, and I think Toronto just stepped up with the nucleus of different players who was able to score at times.
Yeah, and I hate going to this, Mark, but Toronto won last night because they were the better team. It's just bottom line. It's the most obvious thing you could say next to, because they scored more points. But 46 three-point shots attempted by the Sixers last night, that doesn't seem like the team that Brett Brown and Chief Beef himself, Elton Brand, constructed going into this season. Why do the Sixers feel it necessary to shoot, even for today's NBA, that's a lot, 46 three-point attempts?
You know what? I think it got to the point last night that Toronto was doing such a good job of closing the lane out that they was going to live and die by the Sixers' three-pointers. And we took advantage of that the first quarter. We made 7 of them. But then as the game went on, guys started to miss, and his game got streaky. And you got to take what the team is giving you. And if they give you the three, you got to shoot it, especially if you got guys who's the average to better average three-point shooters. But, and, you know, when you down that amount of guys, sometimes you got to manufacture ways to score. And I thought at that given time, that was the Sixers' best option And because Ben did not have it going, only 7 field goal attempts and 8 turnovers. I think that's a big problem when your point guard slash main guy has those kind of numbers.
No, I hear you there. And Mark, you got into this a little bit post-game as well. They played some 3-2 last night, 3-2 zone, the Raptors did, to help compact that lane. But there was one specific play late in the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons brings the ball up. And then Ben Simmons ended up scoring on that 2-3 zone because he gave the ball up on the wing. He got the ball back underneath and got an easy 2-point basket, beating the zone. Why not go back to that type of thing more to get Ben Simmons going?
Well, you know, it's interesting about that. They've been doing that the last couple of games. You know, Ben don't have nothing in transition. He gives it up, and he's been working around the box area. I just think, you know, Toronto did a good job switching AD. He went 3-2. They went back, man, 3-2. And they just threw the Sixers off their rhythm and put them on their heels a little bit. And that's why I think they went away from it. You know, but I really believe Toronto is a great defensive team. They have a lot of pieces that can guard multiple positions, similar to the 76ers. But I just think they had too many bodies. They had too many bodies. And guys like Shake Milton, Furkan, we had to rely on them to try to get something going for us, and we didn't have enough.
Why, instead of Shake Milton, didn't they go with Trey Burke?
You know what? That's interesting, Trey. I'm curious that myself, because I felt as though they need, when Josh went down, they needed some scoring. Mm. And I think that was just Brett Brown reaching to see if he can get something out of Shake. And that was interesting to me, because as soon as Josh Rich went down, I said, okay, we should get Trey in. And Trey got a DMP to me. That was quite interesting to me. You need numbers. You need buckets. And I don't know. I'm curious about that myself. We had the same questions.
Mark, Shake goes for 23 minutes last night, 23 minutes. Mike Scott and James Ennis combined for 19. What's going on with the two of them, or was it more of a case where, you know, the style that Toronto was playing, as you laid out, it wasn't conducive to them being on the court?
You know, I just think that James Ennis is very important here. Mike Scott is not shooting the ball tremendously well, even though he got going last night, and in the game versus the Nets, he had some big hustle plays late in the game for them. I think coach is just trying to find somebody to give him something. And I think he's looking at James Ennis and Mike Scott as similar type players. So instead of playing them both, one of y'all got to give me something. Whoever's playing the best at that time going to get majority of the minutes. And that's why I think he went that way yesterday. But, you know, people talking trades and people talking helping me up scoring. Last night when Josh Richardson went down, that was a prime example of why the 76ers need not just a shooter, but someone that can create for himself. And I think that's a big thing that they're looking for now. But with that being said, Josh Richardson has been playing well with the second unit, and he's been looking to be the go-to scorer for the team. But when he went down, coach tried to leave Tobias Harrison with the second unit, and Tobias struggled a little bit.
So, Mark, you're talking about, speaking with Mark Jackson, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst. When you talk about a guy that can create, you talk about a guy that can come off the bench. Well, the Sixers happen to be tied, rumor-wise, to getting Derrick Rose in a Sixers uniform. Would you be in favor, then, of acquiring a Derrick Rose if it's costing you a Mike Scott, a Zaire Smith, a Shake Milton? Like, would you be in favor of the Sixers making that acquisition?
Oh, yeah. I think Derrick Rose has resurrected himself he may not back all the way back to form, but he's darn sure close, playing at a high level on low minutes. I think that's very important to look at. I think he's averaging 24 minutes a game, and he's leading the team in scoring. That is a pretty substantial big-time move there for him to be able to do that. So if the Sixers are going to acquire Derrick Rose, I think that answers a lot of their concerns. With that being said, they can acquire whoever they want, but they better not get rid of Matisse Stiebel.
I'm with you. Think about it like this. I equate it to Landry Shamet. You're giving up somebody that has a very high ceiling, a guy that's a good three-point shooter in Landry Shamet, and a guy that's also willing to go all out every single night, and you have the same guy in Matisse Stiebel, but only he's not that three-point shooter yet, but he sure as hell is a solid defender, elite defender, you might even say.
Elite. Like, he is... His defensive prowess is so big that I think he has to be considered for the NBA All-Defensive Team. I really believe that. Now, people want to say, oh, he's still young. No, but I don't care. This guy and his ability to play D is remarkable. He is a legitimate stopper in today's game. Now, if we can just get him on the other end and knock down some of these shots, it'd be even better for this team going forward.
Mark, we've had discussion about maybe Derrick Rose being on the Sixers' radar and how he would fit here. Some people are against it. He's not a great three-point shooter. Me, I think everybody here is pretty much for it. How do you feel about Derrick Rose maybe coming here?
What's interesting about that, I agree, he's not a great three-point shooter, but he does other things. He does other things, like he's a scorer. He's a dynamic scorer off the pick and roll or an ISO situation. So he answers the need for buckets. When you have other guys on the floor who's average three-point shooters and you got a guy who can get a bucket in short spurts in 20 minutes of play, look at AKA Lou Williams. Look at Jamal Crawford, who's not in the league right now. But look at guys like that. So you have a question about your second unit? You can put James Ennis or Mike Scott out there with them and say, y'all just spread the floor, pick and pop, let D-Rose do his thing. And that will find its way. And then another thing, it's a difference between being a three-point shooter and not being a three-point shooter and just being willing to shoot the three to make teams respect you. And Derrick Rose will at least shoot the three.
Yeah, he's certainly not shy of doing that. Mark, you were obviously here. You're a Philadelphia guy. You're looking at T.O. You're looking at Donovan McNabb. Whose side are you on?
You know what? I need to listen to it a little bit more, but I'm big on chemistry. I'm big on chemistry, and I know what, you know, disruption can do to a team. So no matter who's right or who's wrong, it was disruptive. It created a problem, and it broke up a dynasty to me.
I'm with you there. And Mark, last thing for you here. Our mutual friend, Trey Thomas, who may or may not have signed a jersey for your mother at one point, was sent photos from a fan asking him to autograph about 10 photos?
Yeah, I got about 10 photos.
They're like 5x7 photos, whatever they might be. And one of the photos was Trey Thomas in a Chargers jersey, but there was one catch. It was not actually Trey Thomas. It was some other guy with the last name Thomas in a Chargers jersey.
Yeah.
Have you ever been confused for another athlete?
Yeah, listen, dude, since I moved back to Philly in July of 2017, and I told you, like, I get confused at least once a week. Hey, Trey, how you doing? Like, now, Mark. Like this. So to be specific, yes, people call me Trey a lot. I'm like, dude, like, come on, dude. I'm not arm lifted the same, but God, come on. Like,
that, it's the bald head and everything.
Exactly. And even when people see Golden State highlights, people get me and Eric Dampier confused a lot. And I used to get a lot of Eric Dampier fan mail.
Really?
He would ask me to sign his pictures. Yes.
That's amazing. Yes. I would have never put those together. At one point, maybe we'll have you at our Cornhole Championship. Maybe we'll have Trey in a Sixers, in your Sixers jersey, and we'll put you in Trey's Eagles jersey, and we'll just see what happens.
Oh, that'd be good. That'd be fun. We get eyes to see how many times people get called the other one.
Mark Jackson, always great catching up with you, man. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Have a good one, fellas.
All right, you too.
Take it easy, brother. Mark Jackson joining us right there, NBC Sports Philadelphia on the Comcast Business Hotline, of course. It'd be nice to have Mark at our fine Cornhole Championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe we'll ask Donovan to come in from Arizona, and we can talk to him about all things T.O.
I mean, you get T.O. in there, too, and then just get some giant boxing gloves. Have at it.
You know what?
Round one.
Once Westbrook to officiate. Since he was the root of all this
evilness.
Since fall.
Yeah.
Once and for all. Mm-hmm. What have I always said about that, Brian Westbrook? Clubhouse poison.
I texted him this morning. I said, so it was your fault the team didn't get back to the Super Bowl, huh?
What did he say?
Haven't heard back from him yet.
Oh,
well, his tweet response last night was, I'm just trying to feed my family and play some football. Thought that was pretty good.
That is pretty good. He was at the Brooklyn Nets game, by the way.
Ah.
Did you see that? B. West was in the crowd.
He's a Brooklyn man.
He's got a house up in Brooklyn,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Trey and I's a Peloton girl, a sideline reporter up there.
Yes, she is.
Yeah,
she's lovely. Allie Love?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, is that what she's the Brooklyn Nets?
She's the Christian Crosby of the Nets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. In-game host, I believe, is the proper
yes,
title.
Yes, in-arena host.
I think in the NBA, they just call it the Christian Crosby of other teams.
Basically.
Right, that works.
Well, I mean, Christian got invited to do the host.
Oh, he's big time.
At NBA yeah. All-Star Weekend.
He does all the Dr. J events. He's big time.
He's a great guy, man. Love that guy. I like people that inspire happiness. Christian Crosby is one of those people. But I'll say this. To inspire depression, let's talk about this Donovan McNabb thing. So, Donovan, now we've had Donovan on.
They can't quit each other, can they?
No.
15 years.
You know what? They are the type of people, they're like their ex, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, and they check each other's Facebook pages all the
totally.
Time.
Totally. They stalk it.
Oh, you're going back to that restaurant? That was our restaurant. Like, that type of thing. Like, that's kind of how it feels. And I'm a fan of both. But if you had to choose a side here, first off, the person that doesn't get enough blame in this whole fiasco is Joe Banner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I admire Joe for the shrewd, crass businessman that he was, mm-hmm. but he was too shrewd, too crass for the T.O. situation. You should have just said, let's rework a deal. Oh, you didn't have to. That's bad business. Winning is good business. T.O. helped you win. Keep him happy. He's the best target your quarterback ever had. By all means, keep the man here and keep him happy. So then after that, I blame Donovan. Because you can't say you're not going to get involved in somebody else's business and then go ahead and get involved in somebody else's business the way Donovan passed up the opportunity to have T.O.'s back, but yet had Brian Westbrook's back when that contract negotiation came up. So I always faulted Joe. I faulted Donovan. And then, of course, I fault T.O. You got to figure out a better way to handle that situation.
Absolutely.
So nobody here is free of blame. But since Donovan brought it up again, and we'll let you hear it right here. Donovan goes on Bleacher Report, and he does an interview while he's shooting pool with this host. What's the guy's name? Masty or something like that?
Some weird
Majestic.
Name.
Majestic?
Yeah, I don't know.
So, Pirate Prince. He goes on with Pirate Prince, and he's shooting pool, and Donovan gets asked about the feeling after they lost the Super Bowl. There was a feeling there that they'd be back, that they'd make a lot more things happen. Now, Trey, you were there from the inside mm-hmm. looking out. We're the outside looking in. So we'll get your perspective in a second. But here's Donovan telling the story of what broke up the Eagles in 2005.
The lead into the following year, I'm thinking he'll be back healthy. You know, we had Freak. We had guys that were just elevating their game, gaining experience. We're going to be back. And so the offseason goes through, and then all of a sudden there's turmoil here and there, conversation going back and forth. And we had to answer those questions instead of focusing on what we need to do in order to get back to where we were. And I thought that was the major distraction for us. You know, he doing sit-ups, you know, he doing push-ups, he playing basketball, he ordering pizza for the people out there. And we sitting there at training camp just like, you got to be kidding me.
Because it's probably on what you get in the cafeteria eating.
Well, we in our dorm rooms, and, you know, I'm just sitting there, and I'm watching on TV, and Brian Dawkins and Trotter were my roommate. And Dawkins come in, he's like, man, what do you do now? I'm like, take a look. Like, this is like days of our lives. Like, it's unbelievable. But, you know, that was something that kind of broke us up. That was the most frustrating for me because I knew what we could do. And if we decided to just come together, what would we be able to accomplish?
Are you and T on talking terms or what's the relationship like now?
Hey, I give a nice peace sign and keep it moving. I respect his time. You know, I love my time. You know, and there's no need for me to try to dust off anything that happened in the past because what was in the past is in the past.
Now, Donovan's credit, when we talked to him last throughout the season, the last time we talked to him, as we had him on every week, he said T.O. deserved to be like top 10 all time. Hall of Famer, all that stuff.
Yeah,
in terms
yeah.
of top 10, to be left off the top 100 list
that's ridiculous.
As a wide receiver is completely bogus.
Oh my God,
so Donovan had his back in that regard, did not have his back in 2005. And look, a lot of blame to go around. But Trey, I told you how I remembered it from the outside looking in. I was one of the guys on T.O.'s front lawn while he was going through that whole fiasco, the Days of Our Lives moment. I was on his front lawn in his driveway. You were in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
What was your perspective from the inside looking out?
I just remember when T.O. and Big Red got into, you know, T.O. was supposed to do the autograph signing. T.O. didn't want to do the autograph signing. I think he was pissed off about whatever. And then he and Big Red had a couple words in the training room. And then I think they told T.O. we'll leave. And then next thing you know, you turn on the TV and you hear about T.O. in his front yard doing sit-ups and push-ups and all of that. You know, we would come in. Get out of practice and go turn on the TV. Like, let's see what T.O. was talking about. You know, I didn't think a lot of it. You know, I thought it was a distraction, but it wasn't that big of a deal for us. Like, we're in Lehigh. It's training camp. I didn't have time to really focus on all of that. You know, we would go in, laugh about it a little bit, like, man, this cat is tripping. And then we move on to the next thing, you know. But yeah, it's unfortunate. But and then, we get into the season. I don't think I'm just looking back at our, like, how we started out the season. But also, 2005 was the year that a lot of us got hurt.
Donovan had the old-fashioned sports hernia.
Yeah, I had back surgery. Right. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, a lot of us, Westbrook went down. So, you know, you had a lot of guys that ended up with injuries in that season. So, you know, I wish that it would have worked out with him, just because we knew what T.O. brought to the table. I mean, he was one of the first big-time, you know, big-name receivers that we had on the team, and he got us over the hump and got us to the Super Bowl. And I think that, especially when you see him come out there and play on a broken ankle, how could you not want that type of athlete back with you?
When you went through, when all the dust settled, let's go there. When all the dust settled and T.O. was released and he knew he wasn't coming back, what was the feeling in the locker room then? Because you finally had that number one target, but you only got to enjoy it for a year and a half.
I don't know. What's next? Who do we have that next week? You know what I'm saying? So I couldn't even really think about that.
Wow.
You know, because it's like, all right, on to the next week. T.O.'s not here anymore. All right, hey, we got to push forward. What's next?
I'll tell you, the fan base's reaction was, we waited 5 years for this guy. And now he's gone.
So Owen signed a 7-year, $49 million contract in March of 2004. So before his first season with $749 million, he was set to make $3.5 million his second year. So that's what he was bitching about, the $3.5 million. $3.5 million?
Yep.
That's all he was making.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that. Look, 2005 wasn't all that long ago.
Right.
I think the blame goes where you said, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joe Banner could have stepped it up a little bit.
Look, and I know that the average man, like, even like, we look at it, like, $3.5 million, that's it, right? No, like, that's a lot of money. By his market, it was not.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think he wasn't even going to be a top 10 highest paid wide receiver at the time. And he's playing like the best wide receiver in football at the time. Yeah, I'd sign him up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to Andrew in Cheltenham. Andrew, you also an Eagles fan? Andrew, you still there, buddy?
Arnold.
Hold on 1 second there. Let's get to Belial. Belial, you're an Eagles fan, right?
Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan.
Before we talk Sixers here with you, who do you put more blame on? Do you put it on Joe Banner? Do you put it on T.O. or do you put it on Donovan?
I'm putting it on Joe Banner, you know, because 3.5, he could have worked something out. You know what I mean? And all T.O. wanted was money. And if he'd have got the money, then everything, they would have shook hands and then we'd have won a couple of chips. But, you know, so I'm going to put it on Joe Banner.
I'm with you there, man. I put more blame on Joe for T.O. than I do for Brian Dawkins. And I know that's the least popular take someone could have in Philadelphia.
I don't think it is.
But you know what? I'm telling you, you weren't going to sign Brian Dawkins because you weren't going to get the $26 million for, what, a 35-year-old safety at that time, which is what Denver was giving up.
Dawkins, real quick, Dawkins was personal. T.O. was a bad professional move.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree.
But T.O. was crazy, though. We would have had a...
Yeah,
got suspended. I mean, Trey being nice about it. I can dig it, Trey. You know, you don't throw your man underneath the rug. But hey, look, you know what they say? If it quacks like a duck, it's usually a duck.
But, actually, that is T.O.'s words. But anyway, what do you got on the Sixers, my friend?
Well, on the Sixers, this is you said something, Mike, that I said to you a while ago, and you kind of sort of came at me.
What?
I said that, you know, Brett Brown is going to be our new Andy Reid. We're going to win these games, but we're never going to get over the hump. But the difference with Andy Reid was he had Donovan McNabb and he had a defense. He had talent. So it coexisted. The Sixers have talent, and the games they win is despite of the coaching. And this is how it is. This guy, he just don't know the X's and O's. The five that he put out there, and that was the worst five I ever seen. Where was the scoring going to come from? Then you put these guys out there. I watched that game. I was so miserable. They shot seven threes back to back to back to back. And it was crazy. Nobody went to the hole. And it speaks for itself. It said, what did somebody, y'all said the stats. They shot less from the 2-point field goal percentage in regards to putting up shots.
Right.
And shot more from the 3-point field goal percentage and putting up shots. That don't make no sense.
Well, hold on. Let's, because we glossed over something here, Bilal. Where did I come out? What did I come at you for?
Because you said that, oh, we can't say that about, you know, Brett Brown, he's a coach. We got to give him a chance and this, that, and the third. But I said, we're going to win games. Yes, we're going to win games because we have the talent. So that's what we did with Andy Reid.
Where was that talent last night? Where was Ben Simmons in the fourth quarter?
But you got, hold up, how many plays did he call for Ben? See, y'all got to look at this. Brett Brown calls the plays. Ben Simmons can only do. Brett Brown, when Ben Simmons has 34 and 12 and 12, Brett Brown didn't call no plays. He just let them run and gun. When Brett Brown called these plays, that's all Ben Simmons can do is run the play. He tells Ben Simmons, penetrate, dish it out to the three.
Well, then I got an even bigger problem with Ben Simmons then, because if he's going to let his head coach stop him and from going to the basket, that's ridiculous.
Let me tell you something real quick, Mark. When I was growing up, we didn't get picked for certain schools. You know why? Because they said you weren't coachable. Ben Simmons is coachable. Coaches love players like that. That's going to listen to every word they say. That's just how he is. Oh. He's coachable. He's a coachable player.
Hey, look, Blau, thanks for the call, man. I don't remember any Andy Reid analogy from back then, but when it comes to Ben Simmons right now, to only get 2 points in the fourth quarter and one rebound, that's a player turning it off. Mm-hmm. There's plenty to blame on for Brett Brown last night. I don't blame him for Ben Simmons not showing up in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Brett Brown's admitted he's not much of a play caller. He doesn't want to tell guys what to do each and every time down. He has his sets. He wants them to freelance, and, you know, he wants them to shoot open threes.
610-632-0975. All right, coming up in a minute, we'll jump back into that gritty story because there's a lot to discuss right there. And someone on the line right here met my mom. I think they bowled together, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll talk to him as well. Time of the Fanatic is 9:26.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Real quick, just some, I don't want to overhype it and call it breaking news, but new to the presses, I guess, from theathletic.com. Jason Kelce spoke to Bo Wolf, was it, Jamie?
Yeah, Zach Berman just put it out from Bo Wolf's article. The guys at The Athletic do a phenomenal job. I really like my subscription a whole lot. So Bo Wolf got this quote from Jason Kelce about his playing future, and here's what it is. You guys tell me what you think about this. I'll put it this way, Kelce says. I feel better health-wise than I did at the end of last year. So I feel good about that. I still feel like I can play at a high level and still feel like I have a lot to offer from a football perspective. And I still very much want to play football. So there's a lot of things trending in a positive way. But again, I said this last year, I'm going to step back and evaluate everything. I want to get completely off the anti-inflammatories and get completely away from training to see where my body feels and how good it feels and reassess. So I guess that's probably where I'm at with that.
I agree. I think he's coming back as well.
Yeah, that's what my gut says.
Like, yeah. If he wasn't talking about, like, it's funny. He's talking more about coming back from injury and what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Not, man, I'm tired of this. I need to see if I want to keep doing it.
The fact he feels better this year than he did last year, I think, tells you everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing right there.
So that's he's back. So that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's fine. Yeah,
he's fine.
If he's gone, that completely changes everything.
Yeah, but even when the story came out last year about him contemplating retirement or really not even contemplating, but really considering it.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense. And even though I know in recent weeks we've talked about Luke Kuechly retiring, in recent months we've talked about Andrew Luck, We've talked about Megatron and all those guys. Jason Kelce just doesn't seem to be one of the guys that wants to hang it up. Like, he seems like he has way too much fun playing football and enjoys the locker room so much. Like, it's not just playing the game, it's the guys he's around as well. And I don't think he's ready to walk away from that. But it's still, nonetheless, is good to hear him talking about coming back. Now, before we get back to the phones, there's this story out there, and Sam's been reading it in her updates, and the Flyers have done an investigation and found nothing to support this claim that a former, now former season ticket holder, because he canceled his season tickets after 20-plus years with the team, this guy and his son, his 13-year-old son, go for a season ticket type thank you thing for season ticket holders, where they get a picture with Gritty. And this man is claiming that Gritty jumped up out of his seat and punched his 13-year-old son in the back. And they even had to send the kid to a chiropractor, and I believe there was a $300 bill, and the kid came away with a bruised lower back because of Gritty's punch, allegedly. Now, the story goes, they go to this this picture-taking experience with Gritty. Gritty wasn't looking at the camera. The kid, who's 13, started patting Gritty on the head. And I guess Gritty took exception. They took the photo. The kid walks away. And Gritty jumps up out of his chair. And then that's when the punch allegedly happened. So now police, Philadelphia's finest, are investigating the matter. Because the Flyers did their own investigation. And they came away with, according to them in a statement, nothing that supported this claim.
Mm-hmm.
What does jump out to me, and I wasn't there, and I haven't seen any footage. Just nothing's come out, whatever. The thing that makes me really question the validity of the claim is the first thing that happens is he says that Gritty took a bad picture. In a letter to the Flyers, he said Gritty took a bad picture, and then, by the way, he hit my son. Bob, you made a great point earlier. Like, first off, you're not writing a letter if something happens after the fact in this incident. You're jumping on this from the get-go. And the last thing you're talking about is how Gritty didn't take a nice photo.
Again, not to be a top, I'm jumping on Gritty.
like
literally jumping. You know, somebody punches my son, an adult. I assume Gritty's an adult.
Right.
Yeah, no, that's not fine.
Best friend
and
of Gritty?
I'm not going home and writing a letter, no.
Yeah, so this man claims the Flyers offered him all-you-could-drink tickets to one of their drinking establishments within the Wells Fargo Center, and that has not been confirmed. The Flyers said they tried to make it right. The guy asked, he said, I don't want anything for all you can drink. I live 50, 60 miles away. Why would I want all you can drink passes when I'm driving around my son? Just do something nice for my kid. Evidently, they couldn't come to an agreement. Flyers did an investigation, came away with nothing. So now the police are involved, and it's an ongoing investigation of Flyers mascot Gritty. That's what's happening right now. And like I said, the guy has given up his season tickets that he's had for almost for 22 years with the team. He's extremely disappointed. He wants his son to remain a Flyers fan, but he's kind of done with the organization.
So is there going to be like a mascot lineup?
You put out there Swoop, the Fanatic, yeah. Gritty. You don't forget Fang.
Yeah, you Fang. Can have Fang. You Fang of the Union, absolutely.
Can't trust a snake.
Fang freaks me the hell out, man. I told Fang to his Fang face. I've been like, look, I'm sure you're great, but you freak me out. Like, you just let you know right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Wingston of the Philadelphia Wingston. Wings.
Yeah. So you got to bring in all the mascots.
Get like the Penn Quaker, the Temple Owl, get them all lined up, and this kid's got to pick out who punched him.
Yeah, it seems like an odd thing. I don't get it, and I don't want to make jokes. Look, a 13-year-old was hurt in this, right?
Maybe
I don't know. The guy has a $300 medical bill.
A $300 medical bill
for the bruised back.
Okay,
the whole thing seems really odd. That's the thing that's the least odd about it is that it's Gritty. Like, that's the least thing. That's the least odd thing about this story. Let's get to Danny in Hatboro. Speaking of parents, Danny, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Now, I think if I have you correct, you bowled with my mother.
I did. I bowl in the league on Mondays, and I saw the name that we were up against her team. And I saw the last name, and I was like, I know that last name. And I approached her, and I was like, hey, is Mark your son? And she just had this look on her face. She was like, oh, God, why?
She's been there before.
Yeah, yeah, that's, yeah. She's been. I was born in 82, and she's had that look on her face ever since. No, that's awesome. She mentioned you to me, Danny. That's awesome, man. I hope you guys had a good time.
It was a great. I look forward to Mondays, and that just makes it even better now that I know. And she showed me pictures of little Tuts, and she's adorable. Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thanks, man.
Wait, Danny, can Eleanor pick up a 7-10 split?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. That's what I was waiting to get to.
What's crazy is I had three of those that night.
Really?
You picked them up?
Three of them. I didn't pick up any of them. I came close on one, but I didn't pick up any of them.
Oh, this is
what... She bowled great from what I saw.
You don't got to say that. All right, sorry. Danny, this is how the story went. She tells me that she met this nice young man that listens to the show, and I appreciate you doing that, Danny, and thank you for being so kind to my mother. But she also, she ended the story by saying that she won two games out of three against your team. Is that true?
He did. They did. They won two out of three and took total pins. I had an off night. So, yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Danny, you got to start hitting the pocket a little bit better. You're a little high on your ball. That's why you're getting your 7-10 splits, buddy.
I was fine, man. It's honestly, you hear bowlers say it all the time. I don't know if you talk to them at all, but at the lane conditions were pretty bad that night.
So. Little oily? Little slick?
They were a little oily for my,
okay.
For my taste.
Well,
my
Eleanor, friends, Eleanor, had no problem. Eleanor likes the oil.
You son of a...
Bobby! She won two out of three in total pins, Mark.
That's Eleanor you're talking about. Show some respect.
Yeah. Oh, I got plenty of respect.
Danny, let me ask you this, because you sound like a guy who's very well in tune in the bowling community. Is Kingpin celebrated or frowned upon in the bowling community?
Oh, I love that movie.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I quote it almost every time, but I don't think I can say it on air, the specific line that
Danny, thanks for calling in, man. You got something on the Sixers real quick?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. What do you guys think about, I was thinking about this the other day, about Al Horford, because he seems like he's lost when he's in there with the starting rotation. Possibly coming off the bench. I know they gave him, you know, like 110 mil for a bench guy. That's a lot, but he would be the guy in the second rotation instead of being lost in the first. He would be that guy that they would go to in the coming off the bench.
Danny,
like
I'm willing to give it a couple more games when Embiid comes back. But if that doesn't,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah, man. When Embiid comes back, possibly have him come off the bench, give him a few games, and possibly have him come off the bench that way. I know, again, they give him a big old contract, but
yeah,
if it helps the team.
No, I'm on board. No, I'm willing to give it. And Danny, thanks for the call, man, and thanks for being so kind to my mom.
Thank you, guys.
All right, Danny, take it easy, man. Now, I'm on board. I'd give it a couple more games when Embiid comes back, but I am not the person that goes, oh, it's 108, 109 million. You can't have that come off the bench. Hell yeah, I can if it makes my team the best version of themselves. Mm-hmm. That's where I side right there. 610-632-0975. Yeah, I don't know what to believe with my mom and bowling.
Wouldn't it be easier to stagger starters in with bench players if Horford's coming off the bench?
Yep.
Hmm.
So,
right?
Why not?
Like last night,
deny you Pell, Quirk, Maz.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Shake starting your fourth quarter.
Five bench players should never be on the floor together.
Hey, guys, don't you dare. You know what? I'll switch this up. You can disrespect my mom all you want.
But
The murderer's row of Norvell Pell, Shake Milton, and the other fellas that were out
Quirk, Maz, Mike Scott, and Howl Netto.
Let the boy watch.
Turn Thunderbird Lanes up to 82.
I was making love with my wife, Donna.
Bob? 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 944.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag at your stay at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. Let's jump to Joe in West Philly. Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey. You know, I'm thinking back to thinking about some years with Teal and the McNabb. I think first I blamed Joe, the GM, because, man, I remember the NFLPA said that was a horrible contract, Ben, and they advised Teal not to sign it. It was such a horrible contract.
Right,
and
yeah.
And they gave Javon Kearse a beautiful contract for limping off and off and up the field that whole year. And personally, man, I think McNabb, I think he should have top behind his receiver, man. Like any other quarterback, all you got to say is he's a big part of his offense, man. I pray that they can work it out and things like that. I don't understand why he had to, you know what I mean, really deflect himself away from T.O. like that. I mean, that was his ticket to the Hall of Fame. I mean, personally, I think years with T.O., he probably would have stepped in the Hall of Fame and had a championship or two. So I think, you know, I think as a quarterback, man, he could have took it in a chance. I mean, we all know what type of personality with T.O. is.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, both those guys were younger. I mean, he was a young guy at the time, and I think he took it all the wrong way. And, you know, I think Andy Reid last, too, because, you know, Andy Reid loved to surround himself with those type of players. When you see the Chiefs, you know what I mean?
Keep going down the list. Where do you blame Trey on that list? Keep going.
Trey don't never get the blame. You know what? I met Trey on the park in a low rider when he was a young guy, when he came to the Eagles. He had a low rider with the cars to jump around.
Oh, really?
About the plateau years ago.
By all means, Joseph, tell me more. No, thank you very much, man. Appreciate it. Hey, real quick, Alex got something on the gritty story. What's up, Alex?
Oh, I've been doing some sleuthing on this guy's Facebook page that is now private, but it wasn't yesterday.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so this guy, so this gritty picture that he apparently didn't like, he made it his profile picture for about 2 weeks in December.
Oh! And
then he went to two different Flyers events since then, one in which his kid met Giroux, had pictures taken with him, had pictures taken with the team, and he's been to a game. He didn't mention anything on Facebook about having a problem with the team.
Really?
And this happened in November.
Right. The alleged incident happened in November, and you're telling me in December he's running amok with the Flyers.
Yep, and his kid met the team. His kid has met all the Phillies players. He has gone to meet and greets with all the Eagles players. This guy is rubbing elbows with all the Philadelphia athletes. It's all on his Facebook. I don't know what his deal is, but if your kid is hurt, it's not going to take a week to go to a chiropractor. You're taking him to the ER. You're taking him to a real doctor.
Mm-hmm.
This is fishy.
Alex, let me ask you this: can I ask you what you do for a living?
I am a background investigator for the United States government.
Nice.
I swear I am.
Okay.
That's because if you said you were like, I don't know, you worked at a library, I'd be like, quit that and go become an investigator. You already are one. You're a pro. Alex, thanks so much for the call, my friend.
Sure. Take it easy, guys.
Appreciate it. See, Alex knows what's what.
Yeah.
Sam, what did the good people say on the Twitterverse today regarding our Twitter poll?
Today we asked, who would you rather have for a 10-year career, Donovan McNabb or T.O.? We had just under 2,700 votes today. 72% said T.O.
I knew it would be over 70%.
You did.
I news it. Sam, what is your takeaway of the day?
Well, real quick, that's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. My takeaway is free gritty. He's innocent.
Please. Just so everyone knows, he's not arrested. Just want to make sure.
Just say.
You can't just go around freeing people. Look at Shake Milton. We freed Shake, and he ran a month last night. Jimmy Litch.
My takeaway of the day is Donovan and T.O., please just shut up. Let it go. Quote the great princess chick from Frozen. Let it go.
What was her name? Harriet?
Anna? I don't know.
Anna.
Is it?
Well,
Annabelle?
No, Anna's
Stephanie?
Elsa. Anna's the sister.
I think it was Donna.
Donna.
They can't quit each other.
My wife, Donna.
Bob Cooney.
Give her an oily lane.
Wow.
And Eleanor Ferzetta is a monster.
You rat bastards.
Wow.
You bite your tongue, sir. You bite your tongue.
My mom was a bowling. My mom was buried with her bowling shoes.
Mark, remember, her name is Butch, really? And she also liked oily lanes.
My mom was buried with her bowling shoes.
Did she have them on or just on the
side?
We
didn't put them on. We put them in with her, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, there's a story behind it. We'll tell it another time.
If there's a knock at your door, Bobby, it might be Joe Farzetta. Trey Thomas.
Man, I think, you know, I'm a little concerned.
What happened?
What T.O. says, like, he's going to air out the parties. It's concerning. We need to nip this in the bud now.
My takeaway of the day, we're way late. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano Show here on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.